my birthday shirt on. Can y'all see it? So actually, we got these shirts for Isaac's birthday. And when we went to the zoo, and the shirts didn't get to come in. And so I thought what would be fitting for today for the birthday is Gigi's shirt. So, and then Paul's birthday is this week. And we celebrate super close our birthdays together. And he's a little bit older than me. Shocking, huh? I am 21 today. Age is just in your mind, amen? Yeah. And my feet and my back and my neck. Yes, and my shoulders. Amen. So it's been a while since I've had the microphone. I feel a little rusty, and so if I start creaking a little bit, you know, just like the Tin Man, I think once the Holy Ghost gets to going on me, I won't squeak so much. So the Lord has really deposited this year, have given me a word for 2025, and He told me that this year, 2025, is my harvest year. It's my harvest year. Amen. And I don't know a lot about harvest. I've done some research and I've looked into it. I do know that it is the fulfillment of a lot of hard work. Asked any farmer. I'm not a farmer. But if you asked a farmer if harvest time hit, was there a lot of prep before harvest came? Amen. So it was a lot of prep and a lot of things. Harvest comes with a lot of blisters. Harvest comes with a lot of tears, a lot of work, a lot of things on your knees, a lot of declaration, a lot of pulling up weeds, right? Doing that watering, you know, doing everything you need to do to produce whatever harvest in your life that needs to come. And so this is my harvest year. And so we're going to just spend the next few minutes in the Word, and I'm going to share my heart with you, okay? So let me pray. So, Father, I thank you for the anointed Word of God. I thank you, Father, that it's sharp. Father, it's powerful. I thank you that it sustains us. Father, that it flows in us and it's life to our being. And so, Father, I thank you that you allow the words that I am to speak this morning, Father, come straight from your heart. And Father, let it fall on good ground. Let it fall on good ground. And the enemy will not come and steal it. It will not take it. That this will be a moment in time and a place, Father God, that your sons and daughters will grab a hold of it. And Father, I declare harvest over their life. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you a question, a couple of questions for you. By raise of hand, who are the people in here that will set an alarm one time, and when the alarm goes up, you get up? Who's that? Look at y'all. Excellent. Okay, who in here sets about 12 alarms and snoozes to the last one, and then you get up and you're always running late? These are my people. Paul's sitting here pointing at me. Paul will look at me and say, turn it off, and my snooze will just keep, just a minute. All right, let me ask you this. Who in here, by raise of hands, who goes and when you fill up your tank of gas, you fill it all the way up to the top? Fill it all the way up the top. Interesting. Who in here would have a specific number that you're going to fill it up? Okay, $15.32, right? Oh, $6.04. There we go. Oh, no, I went over. Dollars, I'm in trouble. All right, last question for my coffee drinkers, okay? Who in here takes their coffee, like when you're in the coffee shop and you like the cream and the sugar and all that good stuff? Raise your hand. Anybody that? Okay. All right. Like cafe mocha and latte otto ichi or whatever. I say, who's in here is just leaded? Just black coffee, straight up. And all of you are looking around at these other people that raise their hand and going, you fluffies. You know, you fluffies. You don't even judge you coffee judgers. My dad was a straight up black coffee drinker. He always told me, he said, when you sit down with me and you drink a cup of coffee, then you're an adult. I will tell you, when he died, I'm still a child. I was a child because I don't drink coffee. So anyway, I said all of that to say that most adults, listen to this, the average American, well, not even American, European, Asian, whatever, human, makes 35,000 choices a day. 35,000 choices, decisions every day. And we know that some of those choices are mundane. They don't really matter to a whole lot. They're just, you decided to brush your teeth this morning, right? You know, you decided if you were going to have a bagel or you were going to skip breakfast. Some choices lead to a whole different set of issues, right? You decided to take a different job and it's going to move you across the country. You decide who you're going to marry. You know, certain decisions carry much weighted, right? What to wear? This was my fifth outfit this morning and my second pair of shoes. It's important. This man right here, he walked into the closet and that's what he put on. I doubt he even really looked at it. He just grabbed, put on, and those are the exact same shoes. He didn't change his shoes like I did. Some choices are important. And clothing and shoes, can I have my lady say amen? That's right. So today I just want to talk about, like I said, my harvest and about my choices and about my decisions and how decisions affect you, how life is all about choices, it's all about decisions. It's all about what you choose to do and how you choose to do it. I want to look first, and we're going to go into the scripture of Matthew 9, and we're going to look at verse 36 through 38. This is in the NIV is what I'm using. So listen up. He says, this is talking about Jesus. He says, when he saw the crowds, that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So Jesus was talking about that the harvest is full. What kind of harvest is he talking about? There's all kinds of things in our life that we work toward. There's all kinds of things that harvest can look like, and it can look individually for every different single person. Three things that I think that a harvest can look like. Number one is that it can look like souls, right? The harvest is souls. It's just the harvest is out there. And workers are needed to bring in the harvest. Because if you're a believer, that's your number one thing, is to be a soul winner, is to bring people, to introduce them to their Savior, to their Lord, right? That is your number one thing. That harvest can look like souls. We want to see people at CCAEM come in here and find Jesus and find the answer and change their lives. And the harvest is full, but the laborers are few. And so we have to be intentional with the harvest that we're bringing in soul winners. Amen. The second kind of harvest can be your character. Is your character. What are you sowing to make your character better? Because you realize your character is what people see. You are a tree that is bearing fruit in your life. You are producing things out of your life, and there are certain seasons where maybe your fruit, love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, maybe those things in your life are at a place where they're not growing. So therefore, you're not seeing a large harvest of fruits that's in your life. Because you're not tending those fruits. When you begin to tender and begin to work on the character of your heart and the character of who you are, all of a sudden harvest begins to come in your life. And all of a sudden you become more like Jesus. Come on. You begin to bear more fruit. You become a person of influence. You become a person of integrity. Come on. You become a person that is trustworthy, that is full of love, that is full of compassion, right? Those things in your, so there can be a harvest of your character. And the last thing, that one of the things that I love, is you get a harvest of blessing. How many of you want the blessing, right? The blessings of God is the thing that is the most beautiful thing that any of us have access to. It's the blessings of God. But the blessings of God, the harvest of blessings, do not come without the work. I mean, that's, at least that's what his word says. He says, if, there's a big if, say if you obey my word, if you do what I tell you to do, if you do this, then I will open up the heavens, and I will pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. You'll be blessed when you walk in. You'll be blessed when you walk out. You'll be blessed when you go to the side, when you go to the right, up and down, and chicka, 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 get blessings all around. I want that kind of harvest. Amen? I want that. And so, souls, character, and blessing are part of what your harvest can look like. Now, last Sunday, raise your hand if you were here last Sunday. Hey, Sunday was good. Different. I love it. I don't just like to go to church. I don't just want to know when we're going to come in here that we're going to sing two songs, send the kids out, two more songs, get up here, you know, repeat the next Sunday. I want authenticity. I want to be yielded to what the Holy Spirit says, what he wants to do. I want to have communion with apple juice and Cheez-Its, crackers. Come on. You don't get that everywhere. You know, that was amazing. Can we just do it again now, Jess? Do we have anything in the pantry? We can do it. It was good. And so we were praying. If you weren't here last Sunday, it was just a free-for-all. Pastor Greg called people up the first time they ever came to church, and they didn't come back. God love them. But I will tell you, that is not the first time that's happened. At the old church, I have done that, Pastor. I have several times had a word for someone, call them out. I didn't make them come to the front, though. Y'all get up, come down here. The chickens, you know, where's the knife? Sacrifice. Yeah. <Woo-hoo>! Yeah, welcome to CZAM. No, I've had a prophetic word over someone, and I release it, and their eyes, you know, get like saucers, and then I never saw them again. I think that was several times, but you know what? I'd rather be obedient to what God told me than to be quiet because I wouldn't want. My word, we wouldn't want the Holy Ghost to move on somebody, would we? Right. Amen. We believe that word is done. But last Sunday, I was praying over Tiffany and Ken. Is Tiffany in here? Where's Tiff? Hey, Tiff. So I was praying over them, and the Lord released a word over them, and I've just ate on it all week. And so I've just meditated on it. And so I was like, all this about harvest, it just tied into it. And this was the word that that I remember saying. And I hope you remember me saying it. We'll see. Maybe I thought it in my brain. It didn't come out my mouth. I don't know. But I said that their echo, I mean, their yes would echo through eternity. And I have just sat on that. That your yes will echo through eternity. It will echo through eternity. Now, I have a little grandbaby. I have several amazing grandchildren. They're all here this morning they're all here this morning with Gigi's birthday. You know, they all here. All my little six minions. And so one of the little minions is kind of packed in the middle. He has a favorite word, and it's noble. And there's one word that he loves to say over and over. Can y'all have any idea what it would be? No. Noble, come here. No. Noble, sit down. No. Noble, can I have it? No. Noble, share. No. No, no bull. I don't know. Maybe it's in his name, right? Maybe that's just what he's hearing. No bull. No, 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 no. And if you've had one of those, if you had a toddler that loved the word no, independent thinker, strong-willed, God love him. He's going to take us all down, I think. No, I'm just kidding. He's precious. Precious. No. And but it's that he's going to grow out of that. You know, that's an immature response to a toddler that has a lot of emotions. He will grow out of it. It's going to take a while. But there's a lot of immature Christians that are like noble, right? God's asking them to do some stuff. The Holy Spirit's convicting them, and they say, what? No. Come on. Go down there and get prayed for. No. Because I tell you, last Sunday, if you didn't get prayed for, you said no. I love to be prayed for. Any opportunity that I get with there's somebody, yes, I'm going to be pushing my way, move out of the way. Yes, I want to be prayed for. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if you think I got something going on. I don't care if you think I'm like that one with issue of blood. I'm going to mark my way through there. You better move out of my way. I'll pull your hair to get to the presence of God, right? I will do it. God honors that, because you know what that is? That is a yes that will echo through eternity. And so a lot of immature toddlers in the world, in their maturity walk, will say, no, hey, you really need to go and go to prayer on Sunday mornings. Get some word in there. No. Oh, man, I really feel something stirring in me to go do something. No. So I want to talk. I don't want to talk about the no. I don't want to talk about the no. We've all maybe had seasons when we've had no's, and we just bury that. Can we just bury that this morning? And let's talk about what our life would look like when we say yes to eternity. And it is so hard to wrap my brain around. I don't know if it's like for you, but it's hard for me to wrap my brain around eternity. That everything, that there's an ending to this, but on the other side of this is forever. And what I do here in comparison to what is out there determines here what's out there. This is such a small part, but it's huge because it continues, right? It just keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. Most of us live a temporal, feel good in the moment life. How do we feel? Does it feel good to us? And we're going to worry about that later. I'm not going to deal with that right now. Just shelve that. Think about that later. I'm not going to worry about that. Or I don't care about it. I don't care what that's going to look like. I want what I want. Having that toddler mentality of mine, me. I don't want to share. I don't want to give. I don't want to do me. No. That is the attitude of so many of us that live for the now. And look, the now is what you can see. I can see what's happening today, and I have an idea of what's going to happen this coming week, and I kind of have an idea of what it may look like toward the end of the year. But how do I wrap my mind around forever? Because this every year is getting older. You know, it's just, I get down on the floor to put a puzzle, and it's almost like I get a forklift to help me get up. You know, I'm just like, I was holding the baby. And I was on the floor. I was like, somebody get the baby because I can't get up. And so I'm like crawling over, like grabbing something, you know, and I'm creaking to get myself up. This is temporal. This is going to fade and be gone. How do you wrap your mind around this thing that is the spirit, your soul, this thing that's inside of you that's going to live forever? And the things that you do in the temporary body will echo into that eternity. I can't wrap my brain around that. I mean, but seriously, what is faith? Right? He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've never seen Jesus. He's never appeared to me, but I've seen evidence of him. I felt him. He's manifested himself in the spirit. He's manifested himself in people, but I can't see it. How do we get our healing? I don't feel it, but I receive it. Amen. So let's look at the importance of it. Let's go to Matthew 12 and let's look at 30 through 36. Now, these are some harsh words. I'm just going to put a disclaimer on it. Are we ready? Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Those are weighty words. Those are strong. You know, That's not a feel-good message. You know, that's not a woohoo. Those are strong words. Amen. 33 says, make a tree good and its fruits will be good. or make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Now, we don't judge. How many of you have ever been accused of that? You're just judgy. You little judging Christian. You little judgy pastor. You're judging. Judge. And we don't judge. You know, we walk in love. But the Bible says, how will you know them? Except by their fruit. What's coming out of your life? That's not judging. That's just, you can't tell me you love Jesus and you have no fruit that's bearing in your life. Or if you do, it's minute and it's hard to see. It says, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Now, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders of this day and he says, you brood of vipers. Whew. How can you who are evil say anything good? Now, listen to this. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. A good man brings good things that are out of the good that stored up him in him. An evil man bring evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So that's telling me you got some stuff in you. There's some things that you have inside of you. Things that are good that come out of your mouth, or there's things that is evil that comes out of your mouth. It's important because I tell you, when you live, as Serena was talking about earlier, about when you're living for eternity, he says, but I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So for me, I translate that as my yes, I'll be accountable for. And my no's, I'll be accountable for as well. Let me take that back. Your yeses, you'll be accountable for. And your no's, you'll be accountable for. You'll make, on that day of judgment, you will make account for the things that you did and the things that you didn't. Now that begins to change the perspective of how you deal with things. If you live in a mentality that your yes will echo through eternity, it changes your whole, it begins to change your whole perspective. It begins to shift how you see things, that it's not just about here, not just about what I'm going through, not just about the things that are overwhelming, not just about my pain, not just about my circumstance, not about my lack. It's more than that. It's on the other side of that. Wednesday night we were talking about that, Travis, how we were talking about what the spirit realm looks, and it's like, it's just right there. I can't see it, but it's just right there. If our blinders could be off and all of a sudden we could see into the spirit realm, oh my gosh, what would we see? I hope that I would see Miss Michelle's big angel, right? Hovering, flapping them wings, you know, carrying with them. You know, I could just imagine all of our angels, you know, that are encamped about, and they're cheering me on. They're like, you go, girl. You hadn't talked in a year, and you go, girl. You just tell it like it is. Speak it like only Gigi can speak it, right? I can imagine that in my mind, but I can't see it. Because I had a choice to say when the Lord said, hey, I want you to release that word. No. I had a choice. You have a choice. See, that's the amazing thing about what Jesus does, is that he doesn't force anything on us. He doesn't force you to serve him. He doesn't force you to love him. He doesn't force anything upon you. He has given us free will. That's why your yes is so beautiful, because he's not a listening. He's not drawing out a response to him by threats, demands, whatever, that would might sometimes, like, go clean your room. Yes, I'm cleaning my room, Izzy, because I want to, not because I'm going to be grounded and I'm going to have a miserable life for this next week if I don't get it done. Do you see what I'm saying? That's not how God operates. He wants your yes to be because he wants it. He wants it to come out of the heart of something that's good that's stored up in you. Now, listen to this. The most important yes that you'll say in your life is yes to Jesus. Most important yes you'll ever say. I remember when we see young kids, like when they've made their profession of faith and they've said yes to Jesus, I can just, you know, I'll look at him and I'll say, "Support, the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Best yes you'll ever say." Number one, that's the biggest yes, because that yes gets the key to get you into heaven. And that's what the Bible says. If you believe in me and you accept me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the key. He is the yes. When you say yes, eternity is handed to you. That's a good yes to say. Don't you think that's the best yes? Yeah, that's better than I said yes to Paul in the bathroom of my sister's house when he said, "You want to marry me?" I said, "Yes." A bathroom was so romantic. It was okay, though. It was at a prayer meeting. Holy Ghost got us. You know, it was good. It was good. That was a great yes that I said to this man in December, 40 years of yes. It's crazy. Where are you going to take me? All right, so what you going to buy me? That was for my birthday. I'm talking about us, for our anniversary. We'll talk about it later. Yes to Jesus. The second most important thing you say is yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes to the Holy Spirit, because it says, be filled with the Spirit, right? Receive the Spirit. And when you say yes to the Holy Spirit, you watch how all of a sudden your tree produces good fruit, and it creates the power in you to say, "Yes, Lord." It's the anointing that flows out of you, right? It's the anointing that begins to give you the power and the ability to say yes. So then we go down to some of the next yeses. Listen to this. What do you say about the talents that God's given you? Do you say yes to the talents that God's given you? Stephen said yes to his talent. Serena has said yes. God loved Josh. I love this man. Let me tell you just a little bit about Joshua. If you haven't met Joshua Hunt, he's fabulous. You're missing out. He's pretty incredible. And we've been, how many years have y'all celebrated now? Okay, so 19 years we've been doing life with this couple. A little bit over that, because we knew them when they were, before they got married. 19 years. And can I tell you that anything that is ever needed at CCAM during that time, do you know what Josh has always said? Yes. Oh, man, we don't have anybody that plays drums. Yeah, I'll do it. Do you know how to play bass, Josh? Nope. But I can figure it out. Hey, I need a drummer. Oh, yep. Yes, I'll do it. And and Josh, get up there and he'd do those drums and he'd count the whole time. 1, 2, 3, 4. He'd get it. He'd say, yes. Hey, we need somebody to do youth and take them and do, yes. Yes. And Emily with him, because, you know, she's the one that makes him really, that, you know, helps him to be fabulous. But Josh, on his own accord, is going to be accountable for every yes that he said with his talents. And this is the amazing thing. Josh would be the first one to tell you that he doesn't feel like he has all that talent that's reserved in him, that's just a natural ability. No, but what he had was just the heart and the willingness to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever it is you need me." Look, our food pantry would not be anything if it wasn't for Chris and Jessica's yes. And it rings through eternity. Does that mean it's easy? No. Does it mean that it takes time? Yes. Go into that. What about your time? When he asks you to take time. When he wants your time, which is more valuable sometimes than money. When he wants your time, what do you say? Yes. Or do you say no? No. Yes. What about your finances? Greg talked about it earlier. Will you give me your... Will you bring the first fruits into the storehouse? Yes. Yes. What about when he requires something of you that is way out of your comfort zone? Now, Kristen and Jeremy have been such powerhouse couples, right? Powerhouse couples. They have sown into what Clint and Katie did before that, like all of this. These children, that's easy. It's difficult, but they're sponges, right? They just absorb it. Children are just no pretense. They don't care if you can sing. They don't judge you if you can't sing. They don't judge you if you may misspeak a word or you're a little goofy or whatever. But then you get to youth. Them are some cutthroat people. They are difficult. You can be pouring your heart out and they just look at you with this blank stare. Will you take youth? Yes. And then you get to ministry, when you get to you know, the things that God just begin. Do you honestly think that everybody that says yes, that they just are like, I know it all and I can do it all and I can be everything. So yes, the yeses that have come out of my life has been, okay, I don't want to do this, but be it according to your word, Lord. If you've asked me, I'll lay it all down and I'll trust that you can take something of this and you can bring something amazing out of it. Yes. So when he asks you about serving, what do you say? Yes. When he asks you about giving, do you say? When he asks you if you're, will you help? If he asks you, come on, here's a good one. If he asks you to forgive, oh, now you're getting all up in my business. What if he asks you to forgive? What if he asks you to lay that thing on the altar? What if he asks you to give up your child and place him on an altar and sacrifice him unto the Lord? Can you say yes? What if he says, give it to me? I can't. Come on, give me that marriage. I can't. I can't do it. I can't. Look, I'm a control freak. I have learned a lot of things about me in my past season. In some of my issues, I am a severe control freak. I have talked a lot about that to Angel. I am control freaks. Anybody else in here control freaks? I want to navigate and push and I want to be in control of it. And when everything is out of my control, I don't like that. I don't like it. And so learning how to say, can you give it to me? Can you give it to me? Can you give me this situation? Can you lay it in my hands and then walk away from it and say, yes, Lord, I trust that you can handle this. I trust that you are capable. I'm sorry, Lord. I trust that you are more than able to handle this. I'm so thankful that Abraham said yes. That he he made this covenant when God said, you want to make a covenant with me? Yes. I'm so thankful that David said yes to King Saul when they said, who's going to go take that giant out? Me. I got it. Yes. Who you think you are talking about my, I got it. I may not be equipped. I may not be trained. I may not have everything. I don't need your stuff. I don't need this, but I know that I have Jesus. And so you got my yes. And if I die trying, glory to God, just transfer me on into heaven. Right? I'm so thankful that Mary said yes when Gabriel came to her and said, hey, you've been chosen amongst women to bring forth the Son of man. What do you say? I'm so thankful Mary said yes. So thankful that she said yes. I'm thankful that Jesus said yes in the Garden of Gethsemane when it was all laid upon him. And because some yeses are agonizing. Some yeses require you on your face before God. Some yeses take something out of you. Jesus went to the garden and he agonized over his yes. He agonized over it. He knew the weight and the responsibility that came from his yes. Some yeses in your life are just complete and utter acts of faith that require something from you. But when you begin to have a mindset that it's not just this, it's eternity. It's something else that's waiting on you for your yes. And there's some no's. Come on, people that echo out through eternity. The biggest one that has always rang in my ear is the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, right? And he asked him, he said, what must I do to be a follower of you? What do I need to do? And Jesus said, well, you need to follow the commandments. I've done that my whole life, Lord. I got you. Okay. Well, you need to do this. I got that, Lord. I got it. And then, you know, he tells him, he said, and I need you to give away everything that you've got. Lay aside all your wealth and come follow me. And the rich young ruler turned away, the scripture says. And he said that in Matthew 19:21, he said, Jesus answered, he said, if you want to be perfect, he said, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. Yes will be echoed in eternity. If you do this, if you say yes. He said, then you just come and follow me. So for me, wrapped up in everything of what it looks like to really be a true follower of Jesus. And it said in 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. That's a no that rings in my mind on a continual basis. Because it's still talking about it, right? It was such a loud no that it was put into the scriptures for generations to come. We don't know his name, but there was a young rich ruler who said no to something that was bigger than who he was. That was bigger than his finances. That was bigger than his wealth. That was bigger than his reputation and his thing. That rings in my ear. The last little set of scriptures that I want to talk to you about this morning. I have a little story. Just can y'all give me just a couple minutes with this story? So when Paul and I were first in ministry, most of y'all know I'm a drama geek, right? I was in the Glee Club. I love the theater. I've got so much drama in me. I think that's why my grandkids love me so much, because I'm animated. So Paul, this was before we were pastoring, I made him go to this dramatic art workshop for Christianity, for Christian people. It was like people who worked with puppets. Do you remember this? You don't remember it? He's blocked it. It's nothing better than to sit with Paul in an atmosphere like them and hear him go, good gosh. So we had these breakout sessions. I'm going to die. We went, there was a clown ministry. Like there was the clown class that I could go to. I love clowns, Morgan. I love them. Do you know, I still have that picture. When you turn 18, I'm going to send it to you of a freaky clown. I love clowns. I love puppets. So we went to a puppet class, and they talked about doing puppets, talked about clown ministry. So there was this one leader of it that was a dramatic, he was a thespian. He was a theater thespian, and he was very thespian. And so he did this dramatic reading of the sheep and the goats in the scriptures, the parable that God said of the sheep and the goat. And I am enthralled, because he would pretend he was riding a donkey. Paul's like, what is he doing? And I'm like, shush, experience the drama. You blocked it. And he had on, and so it was all set up, and he would, and so when I read this, I can't help but go back. It mesmerized me, and it spoke to me. He completely forgot it. He doesn't have any memory of it. But for me, I can remember him riding his little pony, you know, and talking about it. And how many of you know, Greg, who is the, it's Keith, the Christian art, the Christian artist that died in the plane accident, Keith Green. Keith Green, did a song about this, and he, and Jesus said, and that's what he was performing it with, was Keith Green's song. Y'all look it up. Listen, find it on YouTube. Keith Green, Sheep and the Goats. It's great. It is so great. All right, so I keep going. All right, y'all with me? Sheep and the Goats. And Paul is sitting there going, oh my God, how much longer? I was so thankful for his yes that day. So here it goes. What did I say it was in? Do you have it? What did I say? I just have 31. What is it, Matthew? What's the last one? There you go. Matthew what? What is it, Matthew what? Okay, 25. No, it starts on 31, verse 31. 31, there we go. All right, now. Yes, here we go. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels are with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Bah. That's how he was doing it. He will put the sheep on his right and he will put the goats on the left. Still nothing? Nothing? Jeez. So sad. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, and I needed clothes and you clothed me, and I was sick and you looked after me, and I was in prison and you came to visit me. The righteous will rise up and they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirst and we gave you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When were you sick, Lord, and you were in prison and we went to see you? And in verse 40, the king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Then he looked to those that were on the left, and he says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devils and the angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. And I was thirsty, and you told me no. And I was a stranger, and you told me no. And I needed clothes, and you told me no. And I was sick, and you told me no. And you did not look after me. And they turn, and they look, and they say, but when, Lord? When were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When were you a stranger? When were you sick? When were you in prison, and we did not come and help you? And the verse 45, he says, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Then they said, go away to eternal punishment, for the righteous to eternal life. Now this is eternity. This is your moment of eternity when you will stand before and you'll give an account. And you're either going to be on the right hand of God as a sheep, or you're going to be on the left hand as a goat. And your yes to what you did, how you served, how you did it to the least of them. Maybe nobody saw you. Nobody. You didn't make a big display of it. You didn't put it up on Facebook. You didn't make a declaration about it. You just said yes to someone you saw that had a need, and you said yes to them. And Jesus says that when you say yes to even the least of them, you're saying it unto me. You're releasing it unto him. Amen? In those moments when there was a need and you said no, 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 you'll be accountable for every no that you ended up saying. It is an entirely different perspective that when you begin to understand that your yes echoes through eternity. God is a God of generational. He is a generational God. The scriptures show that it begat, that it begat, that it begat, that it begat, that it begat. What you do now and how you are now, it affects not just your children, not just your grandchildren. It affects your great, great grandchildren. It affects that generation to come. Your yes is so important. And so whatever season that we find ourselves in, harvest can look so different to so many different people. And trust me, my harvest does not look like yours, and your harvest would not look like mine. But I can promise you this, that in whatever season that you're in, if you learn how to understand that your yes to time with Him, your yes to worship, your time in the Word, your time how you treat people, your time in the things that when all of a sudden you just hear coming out of your mouth the negative, that it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. The fruit that's in your life has not been tended. The fruit in your life has not been pruned. It has not been watered. It has not been gathered. It is not producing the thing that is the most important to come out of your mouth to help you realize the weight and the importance of what verbally comes out. Amen? Thank y'all for giving me just a few extra minutes over. Let's stand to our feet. Let's take just a moment and let's do a heart check this morning. Man, I know that there have been seasons and there have been times in my life where I've known that the Lord has asked something for me and I just couldn't trust Him enough to say yes. I couldn't find the energy, the time, the space to be able to say yes to Him. But I think that this morning, that this word set on some ears that I hope and I pray and I declare that it's going to help you in the next few weeks to do a self-evaluation of what you say yes to. That you put Him as a priority. That you put time with Him as a priority. That you begin to understand that the things that you do, the things that you say, it's more than just the moment. It's more than just next week or next year. That it rings throughout eternity. And one day when we stand before Him, don't you want your yeses to be huge, a big pile of them? Man, that they have to go and get some angels to bring in those yeses in big truckloads because you have just chose to live your life to always say yes to Jesus. So let's just declare this morning. Let's lift our hands in the house of the Lord. So Father, right now I come to you. I'm thankful for every single yes that has been in this house. Father, I thank you for Greg and Angel's yes. I thank you, Father, that it is powerful, that it is loud, that it is established. Father God, I thank you that they have said yes to whatever it is that you've placed. I thank you, Father, for the yes, Lord, for our praise and worship team. I thank you, Father, that they say yes to bring and practice and to have an anointing upon their life to bring fresh worship in here. Father, I thank you for the yes of Powerhouse, Father. I thank you, Father, for the yes of those workers that take care of our babies. I thank you for the yes, Father God, of Jeremy and Kristen and Casey and Jenny, Father. I thank you that they stepped up and they said yes. Father, I thank you for the yes of Chris and Jessica. Come on, can we say yes, Lord? Thank you that they said yes. Thank you, Father God, for Marvely and for Katie. Father, thank you for their yes, Lord, that they would say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I thank you, Father, for those that hear in our sound booth that say yes, Lord, for the people that work our cameras. Father, thank you for their yes. Thank you for it, that you see it, God, that you see what they're doing. I thank you for every yes giver in here. I thank you for every yes server in here. I thank you, Father, for the yeses that have been yet to be spoken. But Father God, you're going to pour out, Father, that anointing in their life. And Father, they're going to begin to declare, yes, Lord, whatever it is need from me. Come on, can you just say it with me this morning? Let's let it say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, whatever you need, Father God, pick me, choose me, I'm here. Use me, Father God. Use my weakness, use my strength, use my efforts and my ability. See my heart, Lord. And Father, let my yes be a yes. And Father, let it ring out, Father, forever. Everyone in heaven to hear. For everyone in heaven to hear. Thank you for another birthday, Father, on this earth. Thank you, Father, that you have blessed me in heavenly places. Father, that you have blessed my family, that you have blessed our vision in this church. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. And everybody in agree with me, say yes. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, we are here.